You're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Sunday afternoon as the Packers continue to be quiet in free agency, and not to anyone's surprise, I don't think, as we've watched some of the deals get handed out. Brian Gutekunst sitting the early silly money period, sitting on the sidelines after signing Wagner and Kirksey. And some people handling it fine. Some Packers fans losing their minds. I can't say I blame them. I understand. You see other teams making moves and you wonder why your team doesn't. I mean, he did tell us it would be a very different offseason. And so far, he's been true to his word. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Good to see you all. Tremendous hoodie. Thanks. This my friend Liz gave it to me over at Barstool from when I sat in on the watch party for the Seahawks playoff game. Are we talking with anyone else? Ismail, I haven't heard of anything and or seen anything reported. I do know they were in on Delanie Walker early on. They certainly made a call there, but there hasn't been any movement in that regard. But other than that, Emmanuel Sanders was someone they had reached out to, and Sanders ended up choosing the Saints over the Packers and the Cowboys. But other than that, those are the only two specific players that I've heard connected to the Packers in any way. Do we like what we're getting out of Amos, or can he give us more? Matt, I think he can give them more. I think he had a good first year in Green Bay in Pettine's system. I think he can give them a, he's got a higher ceiling than what he showed last year. And that's not to say he had a bad year. I think he was very solid. I think he solidified things on the back end in a way that we haven't seen in Green Bay in quite some time. I mean, we've sat through some incompetence at safety in Green Bay. There's no doubt about it. But I think Amos did a good job solidifying things on the back end, really picking up the slack when Savage went out. That's when things really got kind of dicey back there for him. I think he had to, maybe not overcompensate, but he had to really kind of patrol things in a way that he probably wouldn't have had to do if things had stuck together as they had planned in the offseason. Don't forget, a couple weeks in, they lost Raven Green, and then halfway through the year, they lost Darnell Savage for a stretch. And then they had a lot of, kind of juggling on the back end. That's going to play havoc with not only your assignments, but what you have to do to cover up and or adjust for your teammates, and what you're trying to do as far as the play calls, adjustments before the snap, etc. That all fell on Amos on the back end. Jake, thanks for the super chat. Goodwin from the 49ers would be a great trade for us. I've seen that mentioned a few times. I wouldn't be surprised if Gutekunst made that call, but I'd be shocked if he gave up anything more than a day three pick and a late day three pick at that. Yes, he's on the younger side, and he certainly knows the system from his time in San Francisco with Shanahan, but in a draft this deep, I can't imagine Gutekunst would want to give up any kind of capital for someone else's wide receiver when he could go draft one of his own. There's every kind of receiver on offer, every type, every speed, every body type, etc. I tend to think Gutekunst will much rather spend that draft pick on getting his own guy. People have said to change the trophy to the Belichick trophy. I just laugh at that. I mean, hey, I understand the thinking behind it. The man is by far and away, and I used to fight this idea, but I've come around. He is by far and away the greatest modern coach. I mean, I used to give that moniker to Bill Walsh, but I think Bill Belichick has taken that mantle. There's no question about it. But yeah, there's no way his name should be on the Super Bowl trophy. That should forever be the Vince Lombardi trophy. Thoughts on Bulaga's contract? Could Green Bay have matched it? Yeah, probably. But we know they didn't contact him at any point leading up to free agency. They were set to let him walk. And I think we've talked about that quite a bit here. It's always better to be out a year too early than a year too late. Yes, he played 16 games, I believe, for the second time ever in his career in 2019. But he is definitely on the old side, a third contract. Yes, they could have matched that money. But who's to say he's going to stay on the field for another 16 games? He took himself out of three games as it was. I can't fault Brian Gutekunst for not wanting to. I know that I think the cap hit was just under $5 million with an annual salary of 10. I can't fault Gutekunst for not wanting to lock in 3 years of that for a guy who, you know, is basically patched together at this point. I mean, he's a warrior and has fought through a lot, but at some point you got to force yourself to move on. That's what I think Gutekunst did. Do you think if we keep Lane Taylor, would he compete for the right guard position? Ismael, 1,000,000,000%. And I'm not going to sit here and say on March 20, whatever it is, that Lane's definitely going to be on the squad. It's definitely going to be on the 53. I think there's absolutely every possibility that they end up either cutting him or trading him at some point in this offseason. But yes, if he goes into camp, zero question in my mind, not only would he compete for the right guard spot, he would win it. I think he's a better player than Billy Turner. That's just me. Goody, the deep fryer's here. I got used to, maybe you can fast fry a buffalo in 40 seconds. Certain Packer fans, 40 seconds, but I want it now. That's quite the comparison. When will the draft happen, Aaron? And who are your top three choices at 30? Well, the draft is going to definitely take place on April 23rd, as it was scheduled to. It will not be taking place in Vegas. That event has been canceled. The NFL will come up with some kind of broadcast production, both on television and in online. As for my top three at 30, Kenneth Murray, anyone who's been here for a while knows that's my draft crush. Jefferson, the wide receiver out of LSU, and then Josh Jones. From Houston, the offensive tackle. Jesse, thanks for the super chat. I just finished the Packers Legacy Blu-rays, and they are phenomenal. I could not agree more. I watched them when they came out, the day they came out on digital. It was, funnily enough, it's the first day I've missed work, taking a sick day from work in probably a decade. And it just happened to be that day. I was surprised and sat in my sick bed all day and watched them. And they are, it is fantastic. It is a fantastic series. I can't recommend it enough. Mr. Englewood, thanks so much for the super chat. Any thoughts on Green Bay going after Perryman or Anderson at wide receiver? I'd much prefer Perryman, actually. I think Anderson's got the speed, obviously, and the Packers have had reported interest before. They did try to trade for him at the trade deadline last year, but I think Perryman would absolutely kill it in LaFleur's offense with Rodgers pulling the trigger. Chad, thanks for the super chat. Does LaFleur outlast Rodgers? Whoa, what a question. That's a really good question. I'd say it's a 50-50 at this point. I mean, they have a bad bounce back year. Say they fall back to, 8-8, 9-7, whatever. The heat is on. He has another bad year, and he's fired. And Rodgers is still the quarterback. He's still under contract. So, I mean, I want to say yes, but the NFL is littered with guys who came and went pretty fast, especially in the modern NFL landscape. I mean, Nagy's probably fighting for his job this year, and he was like coach of the year 2 years ago. Took his team to the playoffs and then fell back down to earth. It's not for long in the NFL. So my hunch is yes, he does, but you never know. A lot of ballgame left. Jitsu, thanks for the super chat. I'm blanking / curious. Did we ever get an answer from LaFleur why Vitaly wasn't featured more? Hope we get someone to do a similar role. Not really. I bugged him about it a lot during the year. I asked him several times in press conferences, but yeah, no, never really a satisfactory answer other than, you know, it's just about what the defense presents and how they want to go about attacking the defense and the best way to do that, etc. And I guess for whatever reason, they didn't deem Vitaly part of the equation more often than not, which is unfortunate because I do think he is a pretty damn special talent when it comes to catching the football. And I know most people are probably going to either be surprised by that or poo-poo it and say I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, if you were there this summer every single day during camp, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He caught everything, no matter what kind of pass it was. And I'm not talking just something in the flat. I'm talking like 20 yards downfield with a guy draped all over him going and high-pointing the ball on a wheel route from the slot. I mean, that guy is a legit talent. And for whatever reason, Packers didn't deem him worthy of inclusion, which is unfortunate because I think the Pats certainly will. Do you think bringing back Nick Perry back on a minimum salary to be an edge four would be a good idea? Victor, crazier things have happened, right? And with Fackrell moving on, Yeah, I don't think it's the world's worst idea. Now, we'll see what they do in the draft and or the rest of free agency. But, I mean, you've got to get Rashawn Gary on the field. There's no doubt about that. But we all know a couple of injuries can make you perilously thin instantly. You know, what better way to guard against that than to have your edge four be a guy who has started a bunch in the league, knows the system, and can come in, pretty much hit the ground running. I love that idea. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. Thoughts on an NFL free agent combine? Well, I don't think the union would ever agree to it. I mean, they have a vet combine, which is, you know, something for guys who have been out of the league for a while. They instituted that a couple years ago. But I don't think they would ever do a legit combine for free agency. Mr. Englewood, thanks again for the super chat. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. Not yet, buddy. Not yet. I'm still here. I'm still here. Unless you guys want me to go, then I will. Would you have liked to see us go in on one of Littleton or Pierce instead of both Kirksey and Wagner? Well, Pierce, no way. For what he got paid in Minnesota, no chance. Littleton would have been interesting since we heard so much buzz prior to free agency about them having him as their number one target. But I thought Spoon, Silverstein, over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, had a really good column about why the Packers sat out. If you haven't had a chance, I highly recommend going to read it. But ultimately, you know, they're pretty strapped. They're not in a spot where they can, I think I totally get why Gutekunst went the route he went. Get some guys who are going to give you some flexibility in the draft. Use that as your primary talent replenisher, so to speak. And hey, I saw Bill Huber had a report where there was a source close to Gutekunst saying they didn't want to give out another significant contract on the defensive side of the ball, you know, and I can't begrudge them for that idea. I mean, they were already leading the league in expenditures at the linebacker's position as it is. So to go hand yet another contract to a linebacker, albeit a different type of linebacker, but, you know, you've got to make sure that you have cap dollars allocated across your squad. And you're going to start doing that with payments to Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones. Those guys all got to get paid, and soon, and maybe Kevin King. So I'm not surprised that they sat out either of those guys. Ooh, Larry, excellent question. Who gets to the Super Bowl first, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers or McCarthy and the Cowboys? Woo! Need a sip of the beverage for that one. I would tend to think the Packers, simply because I think Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and some just slight improvement on the defense will be enough to get them there. Whereas in Dallas, they're having to pay Dak after having just paid Ezekiel Elliott, now having to pay, they've paid big money for Cooper and they franchise tag Dak, and you've watched the ripple effect on their defense already. They've let a lot of guys walk on the defensive side of the ball. They're bringing back Sean Lee for a billionth year. You know, it's like, I think the fallout from those decisions to go big with their big names will kind of undermine their depth. And I think that will probably keep them from the big dance, at least initially. And that's why, again, I don't hate the idea of Gutekunst sitting things out, because he wants to make sure that he's strong across the board rather than paying a bunch of big names that if they go down, you're really letting, you know, don't forget what it's like to have undrafted free agents stepping in all the time, because that's pretty much where you'll be. Joel, thanks for the super chat. It seems risky relying on first-year wide receivers via the draft. Well, yes and no. I mean, like I have said often, this is the deepest class we've seen in over a decade, if not ever. And the learning curve at wide receiver in the NFL has certainly lessened. It is not quite the three-year window that it used to be, especially in the West Coast offense. But it certainly is a realistic worry. There's no question about that. But that is down to the scouting department and the faith they have in their guys to identify the talent and or personality / study habit guys who can step in and learn the playbook right away, learn the checks at the line of scrimmage, read to learn defenses the way they want them to, i.e. the way Rodgers wants them to. I mean, it's a lot of work. There's no doubt about that. You can't just go, oh, that guy's really fast, runs good routes, let's draft him. There's a lot more to it than that. But yeah, it's certainly a risk, but it's no riskier than what they did last year, which is what, you know, they had Devontae Adams, a bunch of guys, and let's go. You know, they certainly had one of the least experienced wide receiver cores in the league last year, and they got to the NFC Championship game. This is the thing that I always come back to, that people get on me on Twitter and you guys get on me all the time, and I understand it. I totally get it. But you don't need superstars at wide receiver, especially in this system. You definitely need a little more talent. There's no question about it. But last year, I said all year long, they have all the talent they need to win. And they did a lot. They didn't lose the NFC Championship game because of a lack of talent at wide receiver. That is for damn sure. They have the wide receiver talent they need. Yes, they need to augment it. And I do not doubt they will. But even if all they do this offseason is find, say, two wide receivers in the draft, early in the draft, if that's all they do, you throw them in the mix with the guys who are returning, the return of Equanimeous St. Brown, MVS for another year, Lazard continues to develop. They got all the talent they need at that spot. No question about it. Who's fired first, Ryan Pace or Bill O'Brien? Bears still suck. Herbert, that's phenomenal. Yeah, I don't know. Shit, Bill O'Brien seems to be bulletproof down there in Houston, so I'll go with Pace. I mean, this, if nothing else, I think this offseason will probably be the nail in the coffin. John, thanks for the super chat. How's the COVID-19 beer stash holding up? Do you have enough brew? I will say, shout out somebody. They didn't have a name. The email was in a non-email address, but someone sent me an email at Cheesehead TV with a gift card for a online beer store. And so whoever you are, if you're watching, thank you so much. And yes, the beer is flowing here at Shea Nagler. As I said on Twitter the other night, I bought a 12-pack for the week that I finished that night. And that's not been every night, but that's about where I'm hovering at the moment. So, yeah, the beer is holding up fine. Otis, thanks for the super chat. Is there still hope for Odell to the Pack? There never was much hope. Just a fool's hope. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Thanks a lot, everybody. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers. Hey, hit like. Hit subscribe. That's all I ask. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a good night, everybody.